Right, are we live?
Yes, Mitchell.
So
we are
Spurs
live.
Have got Fulham in the next Premier League fixtures.
We don't class Man City as a good team nowadays. You know, everyone just seems to be beating them.
So, yeah, but the shit teams beat you.
It's true.
That's right. So when Chelsea beat Tottenham, then I guess they're shit.
No, you'll beat us because we're a good team.
Good one.
Funny. So do we want to just jump in and talk about Tottenham's loss to Ipswich straight away, Luke?
Let's jump in.
Let's do Tottenham last. You know, it's a boring game.
Tottenham last? Oh, I mean, the boring game's fucking West Ham Everton, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, but West Ham game's always boring.
Worst game I've ever seen in my whole life.
Every week.
Literally.
it was especially crap though, wasn't it? It was really bad.
I mean, what normally makes up for our games is that the other team is usually half decent, but Everton was shit as well. So it was just the worst game ever. Oh, so
a point's a point, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, are we talking about West Ham now?
Yeah, let's kick off with West Ham. Yeah, go on.
Okay. I suppose that's the first thing to tick off. It was a real struggle to find any positives in that performance, I'm not going to lie. Literally the most boring game of football I've ever seen. I know I said that about the West Ham Bournemouth game in the League Cup, was it, earlier on?
Yeah, it was.
Consistent.
But this one was even worse because there wasn't a goal. I would say Everton were the better team for the most part, although they weren't that good either. And it was just shockingly bad. Like the lack of threat going forward that we had, the holes in midfield, the holes in defence, the lack of direct passes to even attempt something a little bit risky. It was just absolute shit.
The only thing I can kind of recall is Somerville doing one or two nice little runs that fizzled out, basically. But other than that, I don't really remember the match.
Yeah. Somerville definitely had a couple of half-decent moments. And I think the second half, I think Bowen was trying to kind of grab the ball by the horns and try and do a little bit by himself and take on people, but it wasn't really successful unless you got the whole team fighting for it. I just don't think it really works out, except for amazing moments. But a Paqueta again, I don't know what he's up to this season, just absolute jank. I mean, I could go through the whole team and the response would be pretty much the same with the exception of a couple, but it was all just shit. It was just the same old thing that we've seen every week since the start of this season. Like, I feel like I'm just repeating myself every single week that we come on here.
It's great, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
At least there's one consistency, eh?
Yeah, but I still get the fucking man versus AI wrong. So riddle me that.
So the question is, Moyes in?
Oh, yeah, get Moyes in. Get Moyes in.
Ready? How many points now, Bob, have you got this season? Didn't you say something? I can't remember what you said about, is it 14 points or something in 10 games? I can't remember.
We've got 12 points now.
Yeah,
Okay, so I was joking a little bit with Moyes in. I still don't think it's... I mean, is it... The thing is that there's been no improvement at all, right? I think, and I think some of it is... I think you mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago, Mitchell, and I probably dismissed it a little bit, but it is the performances, right?
Yeah.
Like, the way that we actually look when we play, like, we just look like we haven't got a clue, like, for the most part. And I think, Clive, you said it, we don't look like we got any threat going forward, is a part of that, you know, not having that consistent front man. Antonio's past it, really. Like, I think he's good for certain things, but I don't think he's not that goal scorer that he used to be, or like a 15 goal a season. I don't even think he's that anymore. I don't know what difference Fulkrug will make once he's actually back from injury. I was just reading an article actually about, I don't actually know when he's supposed to be back. And they don't know when he's going to be back even.
he don't want to come back.
Well, I mean, if I was watching that and I was injured, I'd be like, fuck this, I'm moving to another sport. Like, I'm going to play for the Denver Nuggets, Clive. Denver Bar Nuggets. I still don't necessarily think it's the right time to get the manager out.
Oof.
But then...
you've got to be looking over your shoulder a little bit. Ipswich and Palace picking up wins now against the mighty Tottenham.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting close to you.
Even Wolves don't win.
But we're only 11 games in.
And it's not getting any better.
Well, I mean, we didn't lose. So, you know.
But, I mean, the state of Everton this season, that's a game you should be winning.
Well, they look like the better team. So
that's a relegation battle right there.
I mean, they're only 7 points off fourth position. Just
Luke,
saying.
Luke.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know you're going to have a little dig at Arsenal there, all right?
No, but no, he's having a dig at Arsenal.
They are fourth with 19.
What's that tapping?
Oh, yep, it might be my leg. Sorry, I'm getting angry.
So with Chelsea coming off. Mitchell, there's like four teams on 90 Listen, points, and look, I wasn't maybe, even looking maybe. At Arsenal.
Maybe you're not buying what I'm selling, but I just want to wind West Ham up, all right? I don't care that they're 7 points off of four.
Do you know what, Mitch, right? You can try it all night if you want, but I'm just beyond getting wound up about it. Like, it's just...
The tapping from your leg just now kind of says differently.
Yeah, but it's not getting wound up from Mitchell's stupid comments. I mean, who gives a fuck about it?
I mean, listen, my predictions could all shitty, come in toxic this club. Season. Imagine if West Ham get relegated. Oh, my God, and I predicted it. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you will never hear the end of it. I'll put it up there. That's what gets going on my CV.
Yeah. Don't surprise me. I still don't think it's necessarily the right time. I don't think we're looking over our shoulder at relegation and stuff like that. I think there are definitely worse teams in the Premier League. I just don't think right now we're doing a very good job of showing it. And all I can do is sit, hope, cry, get frustrated, shake my leg, just hope for the best. But a lot of people are saying that the international break might be the best time to kind of get rid of the manager and then bring one in. But I just don't know whether I agree with that at the moment.
I think you don't agree with that, do you? You don't want to replace the manager yet.
I don't think so. No, I'm very conflicted about that. I will say that the Everton game was really, you know, could have been an out because it was so bad. I mean, you saw it, Clive. Like, you was fortunate enough to be in America and got to see the amazing game that was West Ham versus Everton 2024. People are going to be speaking about that for years. So you got to see it, and it was terrible, wasn't it?
It was shocking. Yeah. I mean, I should have watched the Newcastle Forest match.
You should have watched anything else. Paint dry. Like, literally anything.
American football.
Yeah.
Well, that's on a Sunday. So.
Have you seen West Ham's next two fixtures as well, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Don't even want to think about it. But do you know what? So we've got Newcastle away.
Well,
and then Arsenal at home, which is an easy win. Do you know what? No, I'm not even going to say it. Fuck West Ham. No, fuck West Ham.
What, you think you're going to lose against Newcastle and beat Arsenal?
Well, I mean...
I can see West Ham beating Arsenal just because of the way the season's going.
Yeah, it's such a weird season, isn't it? Like, you don't know. Like, we could go to Newcastle and beat them, but... Do you know what? With Newcastle, I don't even think Newcastle have been that good this season. Like, watching them, I think they've picked it up in the past couple of games.
Yeah, they've won their last two. They're finding a bit of form. But yeah, they're going to be hit and miss.
I just think it's such a weird fucking season. I mean, yes, we've been more miss than hit, but I think the same could be said of a lot of the teams so far. Your teams included, motherfuckers.
I mean, going by the title of the podcast, London is blue right now. I'm just saying. We are the highest rated London club in the table. Oh,
that's just triggering me so much. It's just like, I hate hearing you so happy. It annoys
me. Glorious, isn't it?
It's like you can have 1 week.
Score difference as well. So.
Well, yeah, score more, club.
Huh? We do need to do that, that's for sure. Concede less, score more. But anyone else want to weigh in on West Ham if Bob's done?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that I am done. I was literally about to say, I'm done talking about West Ham because I feel like I say exactly the same thing every week. So until we do something, I might just skip this podcast in future until we do something that's actually interesting. So this might be the last time you hear from me.
The thing is, mate, we could go to another podcast with West Ham fans and they're all sound the same anyway. So don't worry.
Yeah,
you're not bringing anything to the table, basically, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
look, you want to read
between
the lines,
here, Bob.
You might as well go to another podcast. That's fine. Nah. I'm joking.
I love all right. Anyone else want to weigh in on West Ham?
Bishop.
He does it every time, doesn't he?
Every week.
Mitchell does, so to be fair. Mitchell does on West Ham.
All right, let's talk about the other shit club, Tottenham.
Oh, I thought he was going to say about Arsenal, but okay, we can talk about Tottenham. I don't know what to say. Spursy, I guess. Spursy is gets thrown around a lot about Tottenham, and there's a reason why. They come at us, mate. They turned up, didn't give a shit. Didn't bow down to us at a stadium. They just come at us and we were just shit all round. Like, I mean, there's not much to it, really. Like, Tottenham can smash Aston Villa, beat a B-ish, B-plus team of Man City in the cup, and then we lose. I mean, I could have put a bet down on that. I think Mitchell made the joke the following week. It'll just be typical Spurs of losing against Ipswich. They get their first win in the season. It's a stat thing for Tottenham. They look at the league and they're like, okay, who hasn't won a game? Okay, we'll let them beat us because they get that stat. Who hasn't scored in 6 years?
You're lucky now because all the teams in the Premier League have won at least one game now. So it can't happen again to you.
No. It'll be a thingy stat, Clive. It'll be like a goalkeeper has never scored and he's scored. Yeah, it'll just be some weird shit stat. Let's say you could be around mine, Clive, and let's say a weird stat. Our Spurs have never lost in 25 years against this team. Boom.
Boom.
Boom. We just get beat. Oh, and then the Raven and shit. Oh, fucking, I hate it. It'd be some stupid record that what Nottingham Forest did at Liverpool, where they haven't lost in whatever. And then that's Tottenham every week against someone. Oh, it just pisses me off. Yeah, it's not good. And
just looking at the player ratings, and there's not one Tottenham player over a 4 rated out of 10.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think I read that Bentancur weren't too bad, but. I mean, it's a team effort, isn't it? It's not.
By the BBC, I don't know if this is like a fan voted one or whatnot, but he got a 3.78.
Let's just go with the fans, Ed.
That's not too bad for Spurs, to be fair.
He was your top rated player. Liam Delap got an 8.88 rating.
Yeah, it was. Dragerson's fucking useless. I'd rather have. Who would I rather have at the centre back instead of him? Think of a shit defender.
Cucurella.
Michael Dawson weren't too bad, to be fair. It wasn't great, but he weren't bad. Anyway, shit defensively.
So he's your defender that he's kind of super excited about in regards to, you signed him last year? Young.
Yeah, last year, He's been at club for a year. Yeah. I can't remember. Is it like Dynamo Zagreb or something? Some team like that?
Sure. And you're done with him already?
I've watched him 4 times now where he started, and every time he scares me. He just reminds me of like an Eric Dier at the back. That he's just not great. Like, he's got great presence in the air, but I mean, you can't deny it with the ball at your feet and you can't defend properly, then...
Aerial drills are the most important thing.
You're not wrong, Bob. You're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. Yeah, he's not great at all. I saw the highlights and I just don't get it. Like, the squad can turn up against Man City, and I said Villa, smash Villa, and it's not like Villa were poor. We just dominated that game. So in the second half, first half Villa looked good, and like, we could have been 2-0 down. But like, there's just always space for teams to just do what they want. Like, you could just sit back and just counter Tottenham. Even with all the pace that we've got, it's just something in the squad that's just not working. And I can't, even with two defensive midfield players, it's still not working. It's just silly mistakes from players. And that's what's costing us the game. And these professional players should not be making those mistakes. I get it, the odd mistake, but we're making too many of them.
Yeah, like, who's making the mistakes? Because there's a lot... Arsenal had that period where we had a very, very young squad and the results were inconsistent. Is that not what you're going through at the moment?
I guess so. But you've got players that I understand from Dragosin, who's been in the league. Udogie, again, I can understand that he's coming from like Juventus and he's still young. I can understand some of these players. Porro, I don't get now. Like, I don't know how he's making mistakes. I don't get how Bissouma is making mistakes. Even Son, like Son's not been great. Like, it's like every other game with Son, he's not as consistent as he used to be. It's like every like Kane used to be. Yeah, I'm getting that same vibe from him again. And I get that he's getting on a bit now and he's playing on the wing, but I'm just getting that feeling that he may be better as a striker more than a winger now because of the amount of running he has to do.
I see a lot of criticism about Son actually in that game.
And we don't normally criticise Son because he still puts in a good effort and he can be instrumental to the team. Even with like little assists and little runs, and there's glimpses of that still. But sometimes in a game where you're constantly up and down, and you're not always getting forward, if you know what I mean, like you're going three quarters away on the pitch both ways, if that makes sense. Like, you're not getting in the opposition box, you're not getting those positions. Like, he did get a good shot off, from what I saw, and the keeper made a good save. But normally he's doing that 3-4 times in a game and he's always in the box somewhere and getting chances. And a team like Ipswich, come on, anyone could admit that we should be getting a hell of a lot more chances against a team like that. But yeah, I think they just turned up and went, fuck it, it's Ipswich. They haven't won a game. And probably the same mentality they did with Crystal Palace. But then turn up to Villa and City and have this like, oh, this is a big game mentality. We've got to be on this. We've got to be...
That's why I never win anything, mate.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Mitchell. And I think that's what it is that they don't... I think the big teams have the mentality to turn up at every single game as like a cup final. You know, City turn up. I mean, recently, not so much. Yeah, but the big teams are turning up and they've done it for years and even scraping results against teams where they might have been poor in a game, but they still get that 1-0 win. We're not that team. If we don't score three goals in a game, we may lose. You know, we could be 1-0 up, and I've said it before when you've heard me say it numerous times on this podcast, where sometimes it hurts us to go 1-0 up. I think we've won more games being behind than we have being in front this season.
Well, you didn't this time.
You say about the defensive midfielders and playing two defensive midfielders. When you play that strategy, are those players actual defensive midfielders? Like, do you feel like you need just an outright one? I mean, I say like a Rodri, but like no one's going to get someone like a Rodri, but something similar.
Yeah. So what I think's happened recently is that we've not been playing two defensive midfield players. Where we've been playing like Bentancur sitting in there, it's been like Kulusevski in the midfield. We've not had two defensive midfield players in there. And if we do, it's like someone like Saar. But Saar will be box to box. And then someone will sit back like Bissouma. At the beginning, like last season, and I think maybe the beginning of the season, I think he did play two defensive midfield players. I have to go back and confirm. and we had possession, but there was nothing there, like attacking wise. But yeah, before we had that problem, Bob, where no one could actually be a defensive midfield player. But that changed when Bentancur sat in there because he was covering the wing backs and it was working really well. But we have been, maybe this is a statement from me and probably all Spurs fans, I think we have been one of the best teams like to watch in the Premier League this season, attacking wise, and the way that we've been playing football. Our stats even, you know, for that in the season have been great. Even our goals, I think we've scored 23 goals this season. I think we're the highest team in the league to score, I think. That may have changed recently, but I know we've scored 23. It's a team that can score goals, but as I said, we just concede by stupid mistakes. I think if we play five at the back, Bob, we would still concede because of mistakes. There just seems to be something in the squad at the moment that I think where it's so attacking, there's mistakes going to happen.
So Liverpool are the only team with a better goal difference than Tottenham. That's...
Yeah, that is mental. You're 10th, but your goal difference is the second best.
Trick, isn't it? It's...
So that to me says that the games that you do score in or you don't concede in, you still don't win enough. Like,
I can't give you an answer, mate. Honestly, I cannot give you an answer. It's...
Do you think it's a part of it is you're playing better against teams that are obviously coming at you a little bit more? Because what I found with Spurs, and I don't disagree with you about good-looking football. I think that on the ball, yous look brilliant. And like when you played against Leicester, for example, you saw a lot of the ball in that game and playing very attractive football, but you just weren't able to open up any opportunities because they were set back a lot of the game. Do you think that plays a part in it, maybe?
I think at the beginning it did because there was a lot of players getting used to the format, the way Spurs play, or getting used to the way Ange sets up the team. And teams were just sitting back and doing it. And I think we were 4 or 5 games in and I was saying like how good we were playing, but we weren't scoring. But I said, as soon as we start getting those goals, it's going to start looking different. And we were starting to get the goals and starting to get the wins. And it seemed like we're starting to find that formula now at Tottenham. But then it happens, mate. Then we do a Spursy thing again. You know, I know we've had injuries, but I'm not blaming injuries. I'm not blaming any injuries whatsoever. Every team in the league at the moment has got injuries. Maybe not Liverpool as much, I don't know. But I know that this is the way the league works. And that's why you have players that can come in and do the job while the players are out. Maybe not as good, but still good enough to keep you on that run, especially teams like Ipswich. But yeah, Bob, at the beginning of the season, mate, we had a good pre-season. And I thought we'd come in and beat Leicester. You know, I thought we'd beat Leicester.
Aim high, man.
Yeah, no, that's it. But the way that we played as well, like if you was to come out of that game, you'd be like, fuck me, we dominated that game. How did we not beat them? Arsenal game, we dominated that game, didn't beat them, lost. The Newcastle game?
You lost that one as well.
And again, we were good in that game. It's just, we just look at it and I'm just like, I can't make heads or tails of it. All I can put it down to is Tottenham. It's Spursy Tottenham. And everyone watching it would be the same thing. It'd be like, yeah, Tottenham. It's just what they do.
It just doesn't make any sense, though. Whose fault is it? Is it Ange?
Who would you play?
Is he not getting the right mentality out of the players?
If you look to, I don't know, because it's mistakes. Like you can't blame Ange for individual player mistakes. Like who do you draw? If Son's making mistakes, you get Werner.
So for the Ipswich goals, were there mistakes for them?
I only watched the highlights. I saw the ball come in and the guy's done like a bicycle kick and it's gone in, which is a great finish. But players weren't tight to him. Like you could probably argue and say there's two players. I don't know if it's Porro or Dragosin, but I know Brennan Johnson was there as well. So you've got two players not marking anyone and the players in there were able to do a bicycle kick, a half bicycle kick, should I say. Yeah, because it wasn't a proper one.
What do you mean? Still a goal.
What's that? He was already halfway on the floor before he like kicked it backwards. Not like a Ronaldo bicycle kick.
So he wasn't in. It was against Spurs.
Because he wasn't in the air. Because he wasn't 7 foot up.
I call it a half bicycle kick because he was already like laying back. So, if I did that, you guys would be like, bicycle kick.
So it's a unicycle kick.
Yeah, go with unicycle kick. I don't fucking know what you want to call it. But it's a great goal. Regardless, yes, it's a great goal. But defenders should have been tighter. The second one, that was a tap-in that the goalkeeper made a save, and I think he hit Dragason, which would have been an own goal if it was the lap that hit it in.
Yeah,
well, it's again a bit of bit unlucky. But again, who's stopping that cross? Who's getting there to stop him from getting down that line? I think a ball was into the box, but no one tracked him. That was it. No one tracked him, and he's got cross in, and it's just it happens. We've been doing it all season against teams getting down that line and crossing it in and tapping him in. So teams have just done it against us in this game, but you've got to be tighter.
So is it a case of changing players if they're making too many mistakes? Because that you can blame Ange for.
We can change, but I don't know who he would be able to put in, because I think Van der Ven's injured.
The Dutch lad.
Yeah. He'll be back after the international break, won't he?
Yeah, he'll be back. I think Richarlison, not that he's come in for a second, got an assist and got injured again, but I think he's back as well. After I think Romero's got a bit of a time problem. But he did play.
Richarlison's not going to do much defensively, though, is he?
No, he does, in fair. He's not going to be in that position from the goals that we conceded against Ipswich, no. But he does give a good presence for like set pieces.
Because I want to say that with the Dutch lad, you that will help. But obviously, you was conceding goals like that beforehand anyway.
Exactly that. But I don't know what we can do, Clive. I don't know who in there that can tighten up that defence and stop these mistakes. And we do try to play out from the back, which I get that teams are doing that nowadays, but like sometimes it goes against it. Sometimes you just need to do that long ball up to a big fuck off striker like Solanke.
Yeah, it's not like you haven't got one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, four awesome. But outside of that, mate, I can't even give an answer. I was so pissed off with that game. When we went down, I was like, for fuck's sake, typical Tottenham. But I expect us to come back at least, which we did get a goal. But did we get a goal?
And yeah, you did. Yeah. And you had plenty of time to get it. But that was 69th minute, and you should have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how annoyed I was. I forgot that Tottenham even scored. Just pissed off. Just pissed off.
Do you think it comes from the goalkeeper a bit?
Oh yeah. Yeah. His distribution isn't great. Sometimes
he's quick, but I don't think, like, as I've said it before, I think he's a good shot stopper, but he can't do anything from corners. Like, you might as well have a defender on the line, like, with goalie gloves on. But I'm not sad that you've got headaches like that, to be honest, but
of course
I just don't understand it. I don't know if, because, like you would say, with Van der Ven in, that's your strongest defence, wouldn't you? Romero, Van der Ven, Ndugi, and
I agree. Yeah, that's probably our best back four, and I like Van der Ven there. He does add that little bit of cover, pace to it. And a lot of players don't want to take him on, so they think to do something different. So it changes the way that the other teams play as well. It's pretty much like when people used to go against Kyle Walker. Very rare that someone would take him on. They'll either pass the ball backwards or try a different route, because mentally in their head, they're like, well, fucking, there's no point even me trying to get around him. So I think that's the sort of thing with Van der Ven, is that a lot of people just be like, oh, fuck it, we'll go over the other side where Romero is. So it does change the way that teams play. I'm not saying that every team does that, but it's in their mind still. And he does have that little, like I said, bit of cover for us, which you've seen in many games for Tottenham, where he's just recovery is mental, but we don't have that.
Hopefully with his hamstring, he's lost another yard of pace.
Everyone he gets, yeah. Every hamstring injury. I don't have anything else to say on Tottenham, mate. I was just annoyed. I amuse you guys that Tottenham lost against Ipswich.
I just had a thought. I think this might be the first week that none of our teams won.
I think it is. Yeah.
Wow, look at that. I blame Spurs.
Yeah, me too, to be fair.
I mean, I blame Chelsea for being shit. Why the fuck could you not beat Arsenal?
We're third in the table, mate. We're third in the table. All right.
So, on that note, let's, Mitchell, take it away.
Oh, well, no, wait. Spurs are shit.
You as a home team, you can open the gambit.
Arsenal are a funny team, aren't they? They're a funny team. You should. I want to talk about. Yeah. What, listen, Arsenal? Did you just say Arsenal should have won?
We had chances to win, yeah.
Fucking hell, this guy. See, now that's where I wanted to go, because I wanted to know what your thoughts were on it, right? Because I want to speak about Arteta after, because the fucking guy, I don't know, I feel like he's losing his marbles. Personally, I thought it was a very even game, a draw well-deserved for both teams, because we just cancelled each other out, right? The one thing I made a big note on, and fuck you, Bob, because you tried to take the piss out of Cucurella a minute ago, is you did not hear a peep out of Saka, and that was all down to Cucurella. And it was good from Maresca to put Cucurella in there for that game, because for the last couple of games he's played Reece James in the left back position, which is fine. He does fine there, but if you're coming up against a player like Saka, you need to be a left footer. You need to be 100%. And quick and on him, and that is Cucurella had him in his pocket.
Did it for England as well. He did it for Spain when we played against. You know, yeah. I'm talking about. Fuck me, I'm tired. Yeah. The England versus Spain. He had him in his pocket.
Is yeah. I mean, is Cucurella good or is Saka just shit, Luke? I'll let you answer that.
Oh, so, mate, look, I might throw shade at Arsenal all the time, yeah. But Saka's quality. There's no disputing that, and I'll say that here on the record.
The guy is
quality. Like. Not world class, but quality nonetheless.
Knocking on the door, isn't it?
No, look, the Arsenal fans could say that. That's up to them. I don't watch them enough to do that. But it, for England, take him all day long on the right. Take him all day long. And some players you play against, you just have a kryptonite. Cucurella is his kryptonite. That's just the way it is.
Sorry, I didn't mean to open that can of worms. I was joking about both the players gone.
But you're not going to get me to bite on Saka, mate. He's I can't say anything bad about him at the moment.
I can. He's shit against Cucurella. I think at the first half, you literally, there was nothing between us. The second half, I think it do you know my opening comment on the second half? I put Timber with a throw of the season. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah!
what did he do there? Oh fucking hell! Crack me up. But yeah, I think in the second half, obviously where the action happened, but the opening 10, it was just 11 behind the ball for each team, and it was a bit of sideways football, and no one was really closing anyone down until the Arsenal goal. Was it a free kick? Was it?
No, it was Martin Odegaard did.
Odegaard started
the press,
it
was, and then. Him and Saka had a bit of an ink play.
Oh, that's right. Sanchez on his near post. My God, what is he doing, the boy? He did not have a good game, Sanchez.
He made one good save first half against Martinelli.
Yeah, but then he was trying to punch the ball when he could have caught it. That fucking wound me up. And getting beat at your near post. I mean, that was worse than the Palmer one that you moaned about a few weeks ago, Luke. It was the angle. Just cover that fucking post. My God. So that pissed me off, because I was like, if Arsenal fucking win this 1-0 from that, when how the game had gone before that, that would have pissed me off. But then Neto, oh, what a strike.
He was good most of the game, wasn't
he? He was great. And do you know what, right? So he was playing him on the left for the majority of the game, and he was having a great game. But again, Maresca, I'm liking the guy more and more each week. So he's obviously spotted something. So he's gone, right, Madueke, you're coming off. I can't remember who fucking came on for him. But he put Neto in Madueke's position. I love Madueke. I think he's been great. But he was struggling in that game. And Neto, when he moved over to the right, incredible. He looks so good. And he got the goal after that.
Yeah, he got to come on off the right, didn't he?
Yeah.
And we failed to close him down. But no, I don't disagree. I think a draw was a fair result, but I think we had chances to win the game. Like, obviously, last kick of the game, we could have won if Trossard didn't touch the ball, Kai Havertz taps it.
But would Saliba have been offside for that?
Honestly, I don't know. I've not.
Because I did write that down. I was like, Arsenal should have.
It was tight. It's tight. Yeah. But like, other than that, yeah, it was like, again, Saka didn't have, well, he didn't have a quiet game. He got a lot of the ball, but as you say, Cucurella defended well. Cole Palmer had a quiet game, other than some shit free kicks. Neto's goal, like, defensively, Arsenal should have done better. They gave him so much time and space.
Was a good
goal. It was, yeah, great finish. Yeah, like, put it right in the corner. Keeper couldn't really do much about it. But yeah, in my opinion, the defenders should have shut him down.
Your goal as well, I've just remembered. Because we were obviously trying to play the offside a lot. Because on the stats, you had 7 offsides.
Yeah,
so we were playing a risky game, and it was that goal with Colwill
was not stepping out in time.
Yeah.
But and the other thing with that goal as well is you mentioned Cucurella had Saka in his pocket. Like, don't get me wrong, he did a very good job, but you had three players over there for that cross, and Gusto tucked into the middle because of the danger of Saka and Odegaard. Then Saka kind of peeled around and made a similar run to Martinelli, because Saka was, again, free in the middle for Martinelli to square it to if he needed to. So, Cucurella did a fantastic defensive job, but I still think that because of the danger of Saka, I think that's where the goal kind of stems from. Odegaard is what we've missed the last couple of weeks. And that pass is fantastic. And that's the vision that we've lacked. Because last week, that ball would have gone
for a second there.
I think you did. All your players went to cover the wing. Like, they all pushed across. And yeah, Gusto, I don't know if Neto was over on the right side by that point, but you had no one tracking Martinelli whatsoever, and he was able to just stroll into the box, take a touch, and then beat the goalkeeper at the near post. So to have that much time to take a touch, set himself, and beat him at the near post as well, like, it's not just the goalkeeper there, that is the defence as well. But yeah, you're right, Colwell did play the ball with the boys on. I think, from an Arsenal point of view, that kind of pass is what we've missed the last few weeks when we have struggled. Like, normally we'd have maybe Trossard there who would just play the ball down to Saka, and Saka would get down the wing and put a ball in of some sort. I do feel like we could have nicked it, and probably should have nicked it at the end. I think we was the better team the last 10 minutes. But as I say, I think a draw is a fair result.
What do you think about Arteta's comments after? Because he said Arsenal dominated.
He's always going to say
that. He threw that dominated word out.
I mean, I've not looked at any of the stats or anything like that. But I think when the ball's in the final thirds, I remember the first half, you had the Neto cross to Madueke, who should have done better with his header.
Mm.
Other than that, I can't remember many chances from either team in the first half. We had obviously the disallowed goal for the offside for Kai Havertz. Obviously, Martinelli had the chance against Sanchez as well, which more of a reaction save than anything else. But I think if you looked at it in a final third situation, I think we had the better chances and we looked more likely. I wouldn't say either team dominated the game at all.
The stats were so 50-50. Close between us. You really couldn't split it.
I thought the first 10 to 20 minutes, maybe. I know there weren't many chances from Chelsea, but I really thought the first 10 minutes of that game, I was thinking Arsenal were in trouble here. Like, I think Chelsea looked really bright the first, like, 10, I don't know how many fucking minutes it was. I don't know why I keep saying 10 minutes. I don't know how many minutes. But, you know, like, Caicedo was getting the crowd going. It was looking really bright, and it just kind of fizzled out a little bit, didn't it?
I did write that on my notes, right? And it's quite funny, because I think what did it is in the first, like, minute or 2 minutes, Palmer had a wicked strike, which I think Raya knocked it over for a corner. And he got everyone going. And I put on my note, glad Palmer looks up for this. And then I went back to the note, 37 minutes in, he's hardly been in it.
Scribbled it out.
He had the one strike and that was it. But yeah, I don't know what happened. I think we did start bright, but yeah, it just became very cagey.
Neither team wanted to lose again, was the feeling. Absolutely. Like Cucurella going and pointing out that Kai Havertz was bleeding like a little bitch that he is was was amusing as well.
Oh, he's bleeding, ref. Oh, get him off the pitch.
Yeah, that was funny, to be fair. Do you know what I didn't realise about Stamford Bridge? How narrow the tunnel is.
Oh, okay.
The tunnel is so narrow at Stamford Bridge. I don't know how I've never noticed that, because obviously I've watched a number of games that have happened at Stamford Bridge, but it's fucking well narrow.
I wouldn't notice, though. Well, you wouldn't fit down there. Narrow tunnel. I can't say I've ever really...
Have a look next time.
Mitchell never turns up when at that time in the game. He always turns up 5 minutes after kickoff. He never turns up on time.
You're outrageous.
It's true.
Mitchell Brown time is an official time. Right, there,
but other than that, yeah, it was a bit of a nothing game. I think it has stopped me saying Arsenal could go and win the title. I mean, 9 points is too much.
I think it is more important for Arsenal to get the win in that game.
Yeah, 100%. It's a bigger game for us than you guys.
I was not expecting us to be third at this stage.
I just don't see it.
And I was worried going into it because you hadn't won in three in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that can't carry on. Because you're now no winning four and you're going for the title.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I said last week is like, if you're a team that is going for the title, that you can't have that. Like that's not sustainable.
I mean, like you said, the only saving grace is City. I've had a bit of a stinker recently, but fucking Liverpool. I think Liverpool have had the easier fixtures.
They have, I agree. Yeah, as I said last week as well, like Liverpool for me have been better than expected. Mm. But they will have some tougher fixtures to go. Like Arsenal as a team now have played pretty much everyone above them, we have played everyone above us. We've played everyone that will be probably competing for the top six, and we've not lost to any of them either.
I think this game over.
I agree. I think it's 9 points is too much, but maybe like again the optimist inside me saying, well, maybe this is the season that we need to be chasing rather than to be leading.
I think fucking miserable though. Yeah, he's like, I know I say woe is me a lot, but I feel like he's just bringing the mood down a little bit. He's like a little toddler that's been told off. I think he needs to be a bit more uplifting.
I think he is for the team, but like I think behind the closed doors or whatnot.
He's a miserable fucker, isn't he?
I don't think he portrays it in front of the media and when he's talking about referees, but. I don't care about that. Like,
what does he say to the media, Clive? I'll tell you what he says. He says, wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. Yeah.
Not the only manager.
No, I know. I was kind of joking and also still frustrated from talking about West Ham earlier. Where's Luke gone?
I don't know. He's dropped.
Luke.
So he's probably closed the browser like an idiot that he is.
So shit of looking at Arsenal.
I'm sure he would have weighed in by now quite a lot. So it's refreshing not to have him talking shit, really. I don't want to say it's over, but I think it's over. And we're it's over. The title race.
I mean, goodbye, I think we've got a good chance. We got more of a chance to run it. Do you know what, right? I'm quite happy with Chelsea because we've actually had quite a tough opening 11 games. I don't quote me on this. I don't know where I read it, but it was like we had the third hardest opening 10 fixtures in the Premier League and Liverpool were down in like fucking 17th, 18th, I think. I don't know where Arsenal were. But you think if we'd
be up on that list.
Yeah, you reckon?
I mean, we've played City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Villa, Newcastle, Tottenham.
You ain't played West Ham yet, though.
That's true, we haven't. Two fixtures time. West Ham.
Who else have we done? We've done Liverpool, Arsenal, United, Newcastle.
Which one of those did you win?
What from? Well, we beat Newcastle. We drew United. Liverpool beat us. We drew with Arsenal.
City
beat us. That's the two losses, isn't it?
That's the two.
So,
we top beat four, West Ham 3-0.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about that. Top four?
Let me have a look at the table. Who's around us? I mean, even fucking Nottingham Forest at the moment. Jesus Christ, they're having a good run, aren't
they? That's who Arsenal have got next. So, Forest away.
Don't worry, they've
already played them. That was a draw. No, I still don't think top four. There's no way. But I do think a healthy fifth.
I disagree. I think fourth is looking more and more likely for you at the moment. As you say, you've had harder fixtures than a lot of the teams around you.
It's if we can sustain this, though.
No, it's
better. That's better.
That's maintenance drop.
Oh, no.
This guy, honestly.
I know you was finishing up on the... You think you're not going to win the league. I think it's early days, Clive.
It is early days, yeah. I don't disagree with that. And I think, as I said, I don't know if you was on for me saying it, like us being chasing rather than being chased might help us out this season. But I just can't see Liverpool and City dropping, like we're 5 points behind City as well. I don't see both teams dropping that amount of points.
Well, we know certainly that City are not going to keep with this form, are they?
No, right?
They're going to go on a run.
Yeah, City always like the late run. So it's something that Arsenal now have to do as well. We can't afford to drop. We can't afford to lose to Liverpool when we play them away at Anfield, and can't afford to lose to Man City when we play them at home. And in fact, we've got to kind of get at least a one win out of those two games. If not, we've got to win them both.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's say we've got Forest next, and Forest bang on form. Although they did lose to Newcastle as well. So, who knows? We're a fully fit squad after the international break. Who knows? But let's not talk about the international break because it's fucking shit.
Fucking shit. Loads of players have dropped out, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone.
I don't play. I mean, three already. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's fucking...
Yeah. I heard we've got a full squad of Canvey Island players going into the...
And we're still bored the shit out of everyone. yeah. Right. Anything else on Arsenal, Chelsea, Bob or Luke? Do you want to chuck anything else in?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
London Wonderful London. News. Then let's head over to Man vs. AI. Man vs. AI. Another direct hit for AI. I hate to inform everyone. Right. So... AI's prediction was a 1-1 draw, West Ham Everton, so it got 1 point.
Idiots.
It was 2-0 Tottenham win, 0 points. Chelsea 1, Arsenal 1, 3 points. Bob predicted a 2-1 win, 0 points. Clive predicted a 2-1 win, 0 points. Mitchell predicted a 2-2 draw, 1 point.
He's running at that table.
Get ready to laugh. Luke predicted a 2-0 win as well. 0 points. The standings are AI is now on 39 points. We as a collective group are on 24 points. Oh, we are giving ourselves a mountain. Bob, 8 points. Mitchell, 7 points. Clive, 5 points. Luke, 4 points.
Bob, we're running away with it.
Well, I don't think I've actually got any points for about 4 weeks. So I don't know what's happening.
I can tell you. Me and you, so I haven't got any points for 4 weeks. Haven't got any points for 4 weeks.
Fucking hell.
It's been pretty grand. Luke's got 2 points in 4 weeks, and Mitchell's got 4 points in 4 weeks. So,
Clive, I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Are you ever going to stop predicting Arsenal 2-1, or are you just going to roll with that?
That's why I've gone on this bad run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to change it up for the next fixture, which I'll give you in the next podcast.
The England match.
Well, the England match, yeah, let's get to that. So, predictions for the England matches. We will start with Bob. We play Greece away, I think, tomorrow night or tonight? Tomorrow night. And then Ireland on Sunday?
Yeah.
Can I get your prediction for Greece, please?
5-0 England.
5-0 England with Canary Island FC playing. And for Ireland.
It's 5-0 England.
5-0. Okay, brilliant. Mitchell, can I get your predictions for Greece England, please?
2-0 England.
2-0 England.
Conservative.
And can I get your predictions for England v Ireland, Mitchell?
You won't believe this, but
go on.
2-0.
Luke Jaw, can I get your predictions for Greece v England?
1-0 England.
1-0 England. And can I get your predictions for England v Ireland?
Also 1-0.
1-0 England.
Does anyone feel like we've done this before?
It feels a bit deja vu, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, my prediction is going to be 3-1 to England against Greece. 3-1. Let's type that in there. I should have just copied and pasted all this, really, shouldn't I? And I'm going to predict 3-1 for England v Ireland.
Welcome to the London Is podcast, home of originality.
The consistency is key.
It's a myth, though. It's a myth. We're trying to bring it into football.
Yes.
All right, so let's go over to AI. Can you please give me their score predictions?
Did you just say please to AI?
You fucking, you have to. Like, when it rises up. Exactly. Like, no, it's going to remember.
You need to, that's the only thing that you're allowed to speak to, like shit. That's what you got to do. Yeah.
I speak to Tottenham fans and West Ham fans like shit, and AI treat perfectly.
Why do you like Mitchell so much?
I was going to say, I'm glad he didn't say Chelsea.
I don't know. And Chelsea fans. They're the worst of them. Can you please give me score predictions and rationale, taking into account injuries?
Play the jazz.
I forgot the words.
I think they were the words, weren't they?
Good. Nobody knows the words.
I don't even know what that is, but I know that you've sung it ever since we was about 12.
It's Lion King, isn't it?
Is it?
Sing the song again.
Svenja.
That is
the Lion King. If it is
the Lion King. Yeah, but yeah. It's not that. However the rest of it goes. Oh, shit.
I think it's the Lion King, yeah. Right.
It's the Lion King.
England's up and coming fixtures, blah, blah, blah. Injury updates and predictions, blah, blah, blah. Despite the evidence, okay, so. Despite
what's going
all
on,
of these, I'm trying to read ahead.
Okay.
So England's up-and-coming UEFA Nations League fixtures are as follows. Greece versus England, Thursday, November 14th in Athens. England versus Republic of Ireland, Sunday, November 17th at Wembley Stadium. Injury updates and impacts on the predictions. It's gone full on here. Right. England is currently facing a series of injury challenges. Withdrawn players. Saka, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Colwill, Foden, Jack Grealish, Palmer, Ramsdale, and Declan Rice have all withdrawn from the squad. Replacements: Morgan Rogers, Jared Bowen, Jared Brathwaite, Livramento, and James Trafford have all been called up.
Wait, Livramento?
Players are a joke.
Yeah, Livramento's been called up.
Faking up injuries again for the internationals.
Livramento is.
Declan Rice has got a broken toe, so I can allow him.
Okay, fair enough. But the other players?
Yeah, the other players got no idea what's wrong with them. Livramento is English, yeah, and he's been called up, Bob.
I didn't realise he was English. I was just a little bit surprised.
Predicted score: Greece 1, England 2. Rationale: England squad dev should allow them to secure a win, though numerous injuries may result in a narrow margin of victory. England 2, Republic of Ireland 0. Rationale: playing at home, England is expected to perform strongly, and Republic of Ireland also face injury issues with Matt Doherty being recalled as cover. That's it. We're all looking forward to the international duty once again.
Yeah. Can I just say something?
Go on.
Just completely random. Well, it's not completely random. So, Livramento, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can understand, Bob, right? So, do you know his full name?
Dave Livramento.
You're not wrong. It's Valentino Francisco Livramento. His father is from Portugal, and you would not guess where his mother is from.
Russia.
No, your homeland.
Scotland.
Scotland.
Oh.
But he was born in Croydon. So,
I'll take the hurdle that you want to follow.
There you go.
Does Lou want to have a quick little rant about England and injuries?
Not really, mate.
Nah, you are, mate. You are.
All right, let's call the short one then. Fuck Chelsea.
Oh, wait. There's obviously fuck Arsenal as well, but there is one thing we didn't discuss.
Oh,
the referee,
Dave Coote.
Yeah.
How are you going to talk about that?
The referee, mate.
I mean, should we leave that until more details come out, and possibly the next podcast for the international break?
I could do, yeah, to be fair.
Gives us something to talk about.
I've seen the video. Okay, yeah. We'll give you more information and then go from there.
Because he's obviously, just to break on it, he's obviously claimed that's an AI-generated video.
Did he?
I've read a headline that he's claiming it's not him.
That's such a good excuse for everything now.
Yeah.
You can just say it's AI-generated. Anything.
Mitch, you want to say that about your sexual harassment?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. It was AI.